All right, we're in Exodus chapter 14. Tonight's where we'll start off. And for the last few nights now, we've been talking about Moses and the Israelites and their escape from Egypt. We talked last night about how God provided salvation. It came in the form of the Israelites being released from Pharaoh. And so we're going to pick up tonight here, Exodus chapter 14. Before we start there, though, going to ask another rhetorical question to start our lesson off tonight, and the question that I have going forward is, have you ever had something happen to you that doesn't make any sense? Brother Swan T laughs, so I know he's had something that's happened to him that hasn't made sense. I see a lot of smiles back there. We're all like, of course, Jason, we've all had stuff that's happened to us that doesn't make any sense. I'll share one thing that came to mind with me real quick. In 2000, I joined the military. And I did a four-year enlistment. My dad gave me some good advice. He said, before I went in, he said, hey, make sure you only sign up for 4 years. He goes, because if you sign up for six and end up hating it, you got 2 more years of hating life, you know? So I said, hey, okay, Dad, I'll, you know. I didn't listen to much he told me, but that was one thing I listened to, and it was good advice, you know? So I was coming to the end of my enlistment in the military. My wife and I had been married about 2 years, maybe a little more. And I had kept asking and putting in for orders to go to Germany. It was just me and the wife. I had no kids. I wanted to go see Germany, right? I wanted to get on the Autobahn. Everybody told me you can drive over there like Dale Earnhardt, you know, as fast as you want to go, honking the horn, you know, no turn signals. I was like, I got to do this, right? Like all that sauerkraut and borkraut and all this meat, you know, I mean, it's nothing but meat and potatoes. What a great diet, you know? I mean, I'd probably sleep all day if I was over there and be huge, but I really wanted to go to Germany. So I kept putting in for orders to Germany, to Germany, to Germany, to Germany. And finally, it gets down to like 3 months before my enlistment's about to end. And me and the wife were talking. I said, hey, I think it's probably best for us to move back to North Carolina. She's from here, and my parents were here, and her parents were here, and all our families were here. And I said, I think it's probably best for us to move back to North Carolina. I said, I think I want to go to school and become an engineer. And, you know, we were pregnant at that time with our daughter, and you know, she was going to be delivered before we left, and she was going to be a baby. And we said, well, you know, before we start laying down roots, you know, this thing with Germany's not working out. And so, you know, 3 months before I'm about to leave, the first sergeant calls me in and he says, Jason, here's orders to Aviano Air Base, Italy. And I said, where have you clowns been, you know? I was like, what's going on? Why, I've been asking for 2 years to go. I would have took Aviano, Italy, if you would have told me, you know, 9 months ago, you know, but you can't come to me 3 months before. I mean, I already had a job lined up, and we were looking for a house and all these things. And so just at the time, that was a very odd thing in my life. I didn't really understand what was going on. I was like, what's this? This makes no sense. For 2 years, I've been trying to get to this point. We're going to look at a story here tonight that really doesn't make a lot of sense on its face. And let's look at Exodus chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Now here's a prime example of something that happens to Moses and the Israelites that makes no sense. This can't make any sense to them. Just a couple chapters back in Exodus, and if you want to look on your own time, we won't read the verses because we read them last night, but back in Exodus, chapter 12, verses 31 through 33, Pharaoh just released the Israelites. And so now here we are, we pick it up in the beginning of verse 14, and God tells Moses, this is the direction you're going to leave Egypt on your way to the promised land. And what's interesting about this, though, is the route, and what makes no sense about this, is the route that God tells them to go. He says, you're going to go this way. And he says, look at verse 2, he says, speak. Now remember, this is God telling Moses, this is what you're going to do. It wasn't Moses on his own deciding this. God said, told Moses, this is the way you're going to go. Let's look at verse number 2 again. The Bible says, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. God told Moses to go this way. Now, in my Bible, and I brought this Bible particularly for this reason tonight, and maybe yours has the same thing, In my Bible, I have a map here, and in my map it says the Exodus from Egypt. And I know you all can't see this, but I'll give you a good, you know, visual of this, okay? In my map, Egypt is right here. The Promised Land is up here. There's a sea right here called the Mediterranean Sea, okay? So if I'm here and I need to go here, the quickest direction is along this coastline, right? We would all agree to that. It's okay. We can nod our heads. It's okay. Yeah, that's the way we would go. We would go the shortest route, right? The shortest point between, you know, straight line, that whole thing, right? But God tells Moses, he says, go south. Promised Land, Egypt, you want me to go this way, right? We all see the problem. Like, Moses has got to be like, are you sure, God? I'm sure probably when God told Moses, Moses probably whipped out his phone and he typed in GPS. He's put in Promised Land. And he was like, God, GPS says I go 150 miles this way and then 75 miles northeast and I'm in the Promised Land. You're telling me to go south, right? This makes no sense. This was the logical path. It was the shortest path. It was intuitively the best path. It's along the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea, and the Promised Land is on the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. We're going south. We're going away from the coastline. Something else about this route that doesn't make sense. Not only does this path lead them away from the coast, it goes south, but it leads them to a place of vulnerability. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 3, the Bible says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Now let's pay attention here at the end of verse 3. The wilderness hath shut them in. I'm free. I can leave Pharaoh. I need to go this way. You're telling me to go this way. And now Pharaoh knows where I'm going and I'm shut in, the Bible says. We know from verses 2 and 3 that the Israelites are to go south and encamp by the sea. They can't go forward because the Egyptians are that way. I mean, let's face it, who runs back to their captor? You know, I didn't get away from this person to run back to them. They can't go any further south because the sea's behind them. They're stuck now, right? Moses has to be thinking this really doesn't make sense. And then all around them, to make matters worse, is the wilderness, right? So even if you could run somewhere, you're still kind of lost because it's wilderness, you know? There's no I-77 cutting through Mount Sinai to say, you know, this way to Charlotte, this way to the Promised Land. That doesn't exist. They're in the wilderness. But is this not kind of our life on a larger scale? I mean, things happen to us all the time that don't make sense, you know? And as Christians, we're moving on through life, we're trying to have our devotion with God, we're trying to be in church, we're being a good example for our children, we're trying to do all these things, and then all of a sudden something happens and it just doesn't make sense. God, why is this happening? What's going on here? I'm doing all the things. I'm trying to follow your commandments. I'm doing the best that I can. And this thing happens that doesn't make sense. Even though these situations happen in our life, God has a reason for them, and we're going to see that here. Let's look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Verse number 4 says, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. See, God had a reason to send them this way, right? We don't know it at the time. Moses surely didn't know it at the time, right? God hadn't told him at this point, this is what's going to happen. This situation makes no sense, but God says, hey, they're going to know that I am the Lord. Not only are the Egyptians going to know that I am the Lord, but you're going to know that I am the Lord. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17. This is one more thing where we can look at this and we say, hey, this situation really doesn't make sense. Look what it says here. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them, look what it says, not through the way of the land of the Philistines. That's interesting. That way of the land of the Philistines, that's that straight line I was talking about. That's the route the Philistines would have taken to come here. That's the straightest from their country to Egypt. If you were going to go along that trade route or travel that route, that's the straightest line. And look what verse 17 says. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. But look in this verse, though, why he does this, right? When we're talking about, and this is kind of there's just a side note to this thing, but while we're talking about why do these things happen in our life, Let's finish verse number 17. It says, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Right? God knew this ahead of time, right? The straightest path is this way. It's the way of the Philistines. The Bible tells us it's near, right? This is a close thing for them. I-77 is near to us. It's not too far from here. It's a couple miles, right? We can get on 77 pretty easy from here. But this is what kind of stuck out to me, what excited me when I read this is that God knew if the Israelites would have went that path, the easiest path, they would have ran into the Philistines. They would have got scared. And what would they have done, the Bible says? They would have turned around and ran right back to what they were doing. See, God sometimes has to take us the long way around so that we won't get caught up in the thing that's going to turn us back to what we came from. It's interesting, that verse. It kind of excited me because when you're thinking about life, I'm like, oh, man, this really bad thing just happened to me. I mean, how did this just happen? And you're like, okay, I could go and do this. And you're like, God takes you this long way, though, right? Why does he take you the long way? He knows it's the best way for us. He knows what's the best path for us. When these kind of situations happen, they make no sense and all appears lost and out of control, God had a plan. God knew the best way. He knew the best way before he even tells Moses, right? We see in Exodus 13, verse 17, this, but it's not until Exodus 14, 1 that God starts to tell him the path to go. However, though, I know in my life I react to situations that are out of control and don't make any sense. I act more in my personal life like Pharaoh and the Egyptians. When life gives us a lemon, we want to make sweet tea out of it, right? I don't want this lemon. You know, Don goes back there. He wants him a nice little Snicker bar. And what, they got healthy food in there? Don don't want no healthy food. What do I do with this healthy food? I put sugar on it because it tastes better, right? But think about this from Pharaoh. Pharaoh, even in his own situation here, if you think about it, Pharaoh has a situation going on here where he doesn't understand it. Think about what's just happened to him. He's got 2 million people waiting on him. They're building his homes. They're farming his crops. They're getting his food. I mean, Pharaoh's probably back on one of them weird chairs, you know, that you would think about sitting in when you're talking to a shrink or something, you know, weird long ones. You know, he's probably laying back. And there's probably some Israelite throwing grapes at him, you know. I mean, he's got a good thing going on. They're doing all of it for him, and then all of a sudden, they're all gone. And Pharaoh's probably sitting here, you know, he's probably got his generals, commander, what, secretary of state, someone up here, and he's probably like, what just happened? All my people are gone. What did you guys do? This brings us to how the children of Israel react, though, to this. And let's look at verses 6 through 9 of Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says, and he made ready his chariot. This is talking about Pharaoh. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Look at all he does here. Verse number 7, and he took 600 chosen chariots. By the way, this would be like taking, in today's time, this would be like having Sherman tanks, okay? The chariot was the weapon of choice. I mean, if you had a chariot, you had something, right? He goes in 600 chosen chariots. And not only that, but look what the next part of the verse 7 says, and all the chariots of Egypt. Not only did he take all of his that were prepared for war, he went through the whole Egyptian land and took everybody else's. It says, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh's and horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Savon. Now what Pharaoh does here is he gets in this situation that doesn't make any sense to himself, and he becomes self-reliant. He says, uh-oh, there's something here that doesn't make sense. And I do this in my own life. Things happen, they don't make sense. And what do I immediately want to do? One, because I'm a guy, I want to fix this problem, right? This shouldn't happen. I can fix this problem. And I'm going to become self-reliant, and I'm going to fix this on my own. And that's exactly what Pharaoh does here. But this brings us to our next point tonight, though, is self-reliance. Pharaoh has just lost everything. So in verses 6 through 9, he mounts up this great army. He takes all the chariots, the ones that are for war, the ones that aren't for war. He takes everything and he goes after them and he starts to become self-reliant. But not only does he become self-reliant, I want us to look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 is interesting to me. Let's look at the end of verse number 8 here. The Bible says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Now look at here at the end of verse number 8, the Bible says, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. A high hand here in the original in the Hebrew, this has the idea of one's own strength. Think about all God's done for the Israelites, and how does it say they leave Egypt? They leave with a high hand. Boy, my stuff don't stink. I'm good. We're going to walk right on up at it. We're going to cruise right by you, Pharaoh. Look how good we are. Look what we've done. We're something. We're going out with a high hand. We did this on our own, Pharaoh. We're going out on our own. They became self-reliant. Pharaoh's self-reliant at this point. He's saying, I'm going to go back and get what I lost because I don't understand the situation I'm in. And the Egyptians, on the other hand, they became self-reliant because they said, the Bible tells us they marched out with a high hand. They thought they were hot. They thought they had done something. And just like Pharaoh with his chariots and armies, they're leaving under their own power. They became self-reliant. God's not a respecter of persons, and he doesn't really care about what we have and what we've done. He doesn't care. He doesn't want us to become self-reliant. And both parties here are about to find that out, that God's not a respecter of persons or status. Let's first look at the Israelites, though, and their self-reliance. They leave Egypt thinking that they're free based on what they've done. Boy, I'm done. We're good people. Look at that. We made so many little Hebrews that Pharaoh couldn't deal with this and let us go, right? We're just going to walk right on up out of here. Look at verse number 10, though, what the Bible says. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, look what the children of Israel do now. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel immediately, what they do, cried out unto the Lord. We wonder sometimes why situations around us don't make sense. I wonder if it's not because we're a little self-reliant, right? Look how good I am. Boy, I've built all this stuff. I've done all these things. Look at me. I've made it to the top. Boy, I told my neighbor off. His dog will never do that in my yard again. Yeah, I've done something, right? We become self-reliant, and God says, okay, don't forget who's in charge. Here comes the Egyptians, 600 chariots plus captains over all them, plus his armies, and they all come down, and the next thing you know, the children of Israel are like, we forgot who actually let us out. We forgot who's in charge, and they cry out to God again. Moses knew that God, though, was the only one who could let them out. Let's look at Exodus 14. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, Moses knew who was in charge. Moses knew that he couldn't be self-reliant. Moses knew these things. God had worked on him mightily up to this point. Moses knew God was the only one who could deliver him from the situation that didn't make any sense. Here we are, we're free, we're going south, we're now trapped, we're entangled in the wilderness, and here come the Egyptians right back on top of us, and this situation doesn't make sense. Maybe some of it was because they became self-reliant. God knew that was going to happen. And he allowed him to go this way to show him that he was the Lord. It's funny how God allowed this situation to come into Israel's life, though. I mean, the Israelites are slaves. God works over the Egyptians real good to the point they beg Israel to leave. The Israelites think they've gained their freedom through their own power. So God has to allow the Israelites to come under distress, a perilous situation again. And this whole reason is, as Moses put it there in verse number 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you. The strength is in the Lord. What you've done is in the Lord. This exodus we're on is because of the Lord. Usually we can't control these situations in our life that make no sense. I mean, if we could control them, we would never run into a situation that didn't make any sense. We would know, right? We'd solve the problem before it ever happened. But we have to become less self-reliant and more God-reliant in those situations. When we have these situations that happen in life that don't understand, it's God preparing for us to truly know how great he is. Look at Exodus 14. Let's look at verses 19 through 22. The Bible says, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, just to kind of recap what goes on in here, as you all remember, there's a cloud that covers the Israelites as they're traveling by day, and then there's a pillar at night that gives them light. Well, God has the Israelites trapped, right? And he takes this cloud and it goes behind the Israelites, it says, and it becomes a wall. So now the Egyptians that are plowing down on the Israelites, they don't know where they're at. They can't see him anymore. And then the Bible says a strong easterly wind comes and it divides the waters. Now you have that cloud that's between you and the enemy, and the waters are being divided. And then Moses stretches forth his rod. The winds are blowing. It's divided. And we're coming to the point now where there's an escape route, right? But in my mind, I'm kind of thinking Moses probably had to prod these people along, right? I mean, you see these giant walls of water. And I'm kind of like, hey, Moses, thanks for what you're doing, pal. But, you know, and I'm sure Moses is probably back there with his rod, probably poking some goats, poking some sheep, poking Don. Come on, Don, get through this water, you know. And Don's probably like, Moses, you're crazy. I ain't going through this water. I mean, this don't look right. God's deliverance from the situation, it makes no sense, is not done, though. Let's look at verse number 22. The Bible says, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. From verse 22, we know the Israelites passed through on dry ground. Dry ground they walked through. They weren't sloshing through the mud, and they weren't kicking fish out of the way, and there wasn't seaweed wrapped on their sandals, and they didn't have a wheel on their horse, you know, in a big giant puddle on them. It says they walked through on dry land. Here's the self-reliant Egyptians, though. Look what they did in verse number 23. The Bible says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now, I don't know what the Egyptian army was thinking. I don't know. I have to feel that the Egyptian army was like the prerequisite to American Marines. Like, you know, they just did what they told, and they had no free will to think, you know? I mean, like American Marines, right? They're like, hey, jump on that grenade. Okay, and six of them jump on it, right? I was in the Air Force. They gave us a smidgen of, you know, independence, you know? They didn't totally brainwash us like, you know, Marines. I kid about that. I love the Marine Corps. I love our military, but, you know, the Marines they're tried and true. They're going to do what they're told, right? And, I mean, here are the Egyptians. They see this, they don't even think about it, right? They barrel right through. They're after the Israelites. They don't even think about this. Remember, this is the high-mindedness, the self-reliance. Pharaoh's going to get back what he lost. He doesn't understand this situation, and he thinks upon his own will he can defeat this problem that he has in his life. Let's look at verses 26 through 28 of Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So this is what happens when we become self-reliant, we become high-minded, and we try to fix things on our own. The Bible says there was not one of them that remained when God closed that water back up. He said, Moses, close that water back up, stretch your rod back forth, and that seawall came down, and it killed all of them. We don't know how many for sure. At minimum 600, because there had been at least 600 men driving these chariots, but the Bible tells us he took all the other chariots and all his armies and his captains. There could have been a million plus men that came in here trying to get these Egyptians or get the Pharaoh Hebrews back. And this is the idea that behind this is what we can gather out of this that's applicable to our life. When something's going on, we have to realize, hey, God, you walk me through this. You provide the path to this. We can't do this on our own. Pharaoh tried to do it on his own. He tried to get back in a situation and became self-minded and self-reliant. We have to watch this high-mindedness and the self-reliance. The Israelites left Egypt with this high hand, and God put them into a point where they had to turn back and look and say, Lord, help us out. See, both of these situations, the Egyptians and the Israelites, are very similar. Both of them got high-minded. They thought they were self-reliant. They thought they could do this. And God said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to show you both that I'm the God. I'm the God of salvation. I'm the God that takes you through the path. Anything good we have in life, we better recognize and give thanks to God, because He's the one that brought us around. Our health, our children, our car, house, a bank account, a 401k, wife, grandkids, whatever it is we have, all those things came to God. We can't get high-minded and think that we've done something ourselves. If it was left up to me and my own self-will and what I would do, I'd probably be eating ice cream every night because I love ice cream, you know. I mean, I'd probably gorge myself on ice cream because I thought I was something. I could do it. Finally, the whole event we just read through, it really comes down to verse number 31 of Exodus 14, the last verse. Let's look at that. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. God took this whole situation. You go south, because I'm telling you to go south, because what did He know? He knew the other way. He knew the other path was harmful to us, right? It didn't make sense. Why don't we go this way? Because they would have ran in the Philistines, got scared, and ran right back to what they were doing. And God said, no, I need to take you south. And then God says, well, I'm going to let the Egyptians chase you. And this whole situation happens because of verse number 31 at the end. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. See, if our path is laid out for us by God, we need to believe and trust in Him that that's the way to go. Because the Egyptians tried to do this on their own and failed miserably. The Israelites thought they could do it on their own, and God had to bring them back around too. Exodus 14 is a good example of life and how things happen that we don't understand. I'll close with the story I started our lesson with tonight. And I told you about me asking for orders to go to Germany, and I didn't understand how I couldn't get these. I mean, like I said, for nearly 2 years, I was putting in every 30 days for these orders to go to Germany. And I didn't understand at the time why I couldn't get these orders to Germany. Well, I told you, my wife and I, we decided to move back to North Carolina. So I came back to North Carolina, and God lined up a job for me, lined up my wife and I's first house for us, gave us our first, well, almost our first kid. First and second children were born pretty much here. My daughter was born in Washington. She lived there 2 weeks. She doesn't remember any of it. She didn't even remember anything, you know, her whole first year. So, you know, that's good for me, I guess. He brought us back here. He got us into church. He allowed me to get through college. He gave me a job. He allowed us to move down to Rock Hill. He brought us to this church. This church has been a great blessing to my family. See, I look back on it now and I say, God, I don't understand why this didn't happen. But at the end, I'm here tonight because God took me a long route around. See, He provided the path for me. If I would have went to Aviano Air Base, Italy, or if I would have went to Ramstein, Germany, where they were, I may have done my 20 years in the Air Force and retired, but I would have had to get another job. I may have not made it through those 20 years. I don't know what the outcome was, but God brought me this way, and I can tell He's blessed my life and my family because of what He did. But it was what He did. He brought us here. He allowed me to go to school. He took care of my family. It wasn't anything that I did. I had no self-will to be able to do any of those things. God had to do that, and it was a long path and an arduous path. But God did that. He said, Jason, this is the way I want you to go. So Exodus 14 to me is a good example of life, how we run into things and we don't understand what goes on, but we have to put our trust into God that He's going to provide the path, because at the end, He parts the waters and He allows us to walk through in dry land. God will reveal Himself through these situations if we allow Him. God will draw us closer to Him. He'll allow us to become closer to Him. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we become less self-reliant and more God-reliant.